The Internet. The Final Frontier.
Well, hello. You're listening to an interview with a webcomic artist recorded at SPX. It's SPXplosion on Boldly Going Nowhere. We hope you find it both informative and entertaining. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
Right, our webcomic series at SPX continues.
SPXplosion.
Boldly Going Nowhere is excited to have John Rosenberg with us today, the creator of the comics Goats and Scenes from a Multiverse.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
How are you doing, John? How are you enjoying SPX?
Oh, I love it. This is a great show. You know, it's a different flavor than most of the conventions we end up doing, so it's nice to be amongst people who appreciate comics for, you know, what they can be rather than, you know, what they have been. You know, superheroes and such. So.
Well, that's actually a good starting point for our questions. One of the things we've been talking about this year, or this this convention with our other interviews, is webcomics as a medium for telling stories and versus webcomics as a medium for art. I guess to you, which of those is the more central element?
It would be difficult for me to separate the two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They inform each other so much. My background is probably more as a writer than it is an artist, so I probably take it from a writer's approach first.
Okay. And I mean, we look at the two main comics you do. Do you have are there other ones that you do or have done in the past?
I dabbled in some small things that are probably not worth remembering or mentioning at the time, but yeah, you know, the Goats and Scenes from Multiverse are where most of my efforts have been.
And Goats is a more story driven
yes.
comic, whereas Scenes from Multiverse is not. It's the more of the, you know, sort of the
gag a day.
Daily, yeah, the gag a day. People like to use that phrase. I became familiar with your work actually through visiting SPX. I bought a Demonic Chicken action figure from you just because I saw it there and pretty much had to. And I, you know, read the back of the box. I was like, I should check out the origins of this Devil Chicken, and started reading your work. And then Scenes from Multiverse has been amazing.
Thank you.
And I think it's been pretty popular too.
The popularity has really surprised me. Audience size is probably like two or three times what Goats had at its peak. So
could you talk a little bit about the origins for both comics, particularly Scenes from Multiverse, because it's one of the more unique comics that I've seen.
Well, Scenes from Multiverse is kind of it's derived from Goats somewhat. It takes place in the same multiverse. It shares the same kind of sensibilities and humor. But there's no long storyline or characters, and that was a very intentional decision because while Goats was a lot of fun to work on and hopefully will be again someday, the problem was for readers, it was very intimidating to have to to work their way through, you know, a decade worth of backstory in order to understand what's going on. And I tried my best to make it accessible and, you know, and point people to the right starting point so that they didn't have to go back to the very beginning, and we put out some books that were geared towards new readers. But there's still that hurdle. You can't really get rid of it completely. So I said, I'd like to keep doing something similar to this, but I want to make it as easy and accessible as possible, and I want people to be able to, you know, click on any page and be able to get into it right away and understand what they're looking at without, you know, any external knowledge.
Yeah. Well, probably what is the most interesting feature about Scenes from Multiverse is the way that you've, I guess, incorporated the democratic process into the process of making comics with this whole voting system. Could you talk a little bit about that, how you came up with that idea, and
how
it's affected how you make the comic?
Well, you know, when I was planning things out, I took a couple months to really make sure that I had the comic exactly the way that I wanted it. One of the things I was thinking about, how do I involve the audience more? And I was thinking about reality shows and that sort of thing, and, you know, what's popular and what gets people involved. And, you know, people love to vote people off an island or, you know, call in for their favorite American Idol or whatever. And I wanted to do something similar to that, so I decided that since we're visiting new destinations every day during the week, that at the end of the week we would give people an opportunity to vote for their favorites, and then we would revisit those places later in the week. And then once we've had, you know, once you've revisited a place five times, it gets retired, it goes into the Hall of Fame, and then we have like a Hall of Famers competition, and then there's an ultimate winner, you know, once we have five of those candidates. And then we do a week worth of strips in that locale, and it's kind of a reward for people for sticking around and voting. They get to see a little bit more of their favorites.
So are you ever, I don't know, shocked at the way people vote, or maybe even like disappointed? Like maybe you know, you did a week of comics, and then you know, you had some that like you really loved to draw, and then one that was like, you know, this was maybe a little more of an off day, and like I was really hoping to get to continue this one, and then the readers vote for something completely unexpected.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's a constant surprise to me what people vote for. And it seems to be the case for a lot of artists when they get reactions to their work that I know, people that I know, you know, are always surprised that this item sold and this one didn't, or people really were crazy about this particular comic. You can never really anticipate what your audience is going to click with. You just got to keep trying and learn a little bit from your successes and keep going. But it's always a surprise.
I mean, I'll admit, like when I jumped on Scenes of a Multiverse, I loved how it jumped all over the sci-fi gamut. And I mean, lately I've been really, you know, cracking up over the Doctor Who sort of spinoff you got going.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah, that one I never expected to go is, you know, for the full five.
Right.
But you know, people love Doctor Who, and you know, they see a character they like, and they vote for it. So you know, that is a strong draw, I think, for people if they already know what they're looking at. You know, if it's a reference to something that they're familiar with.
Yeah. Those last couple ones were especially pretty funny. I remember cracking up especially over the what was it, potato salad joke you threw in right at the end.
Oh, you have the advantage over me. I don't remember.
It was what was it? It was he had just gotten shot down by the Amy Pond character,
uh-huh.
Or at least you know the version of Amy Pond you have in there, and so he was bummed out, and then he got a message through the time stream, and
oh, is it the invitation?
The invitation to like the interdimensional orgy. It's
yeah.
Like bring your famous potato salad.
That was difficult to write that strip. It was the fifth one, and I had already done four, and I was writing. You know, I love Doctor Who. And
yeah.
To write him is this kind of
pervert. Oh, I know.
Is almost painful. For me,
I remember in that news post, you're like, all right, can we please stop with this now?
I had to beg the audience to let me write something else.
Yeah, I was going to say the great thing about this system is it really tells you a lot about your readership. Like okay, we can figure out the things they like. They really like Doctor Who. They really like Bunny's Planet.
Yeah, yeah.
They are eating that shit up with a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bunnies were very, very popular. We're going to be merchandising the hell out of them.
That's a wise decision.
Yeah, people want more and more, and you know,
I remember,
very happy to give it to them.
Actually, you know, funnily enough, I picked up a print yesterday. It was the bunnies and the obelisk from 2001.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
I was cracking. I was like, I gotta have that.
Yeah, I think yeah. Keep like the toys, the action figures. Keep that coming because that's something I think to separate. Keeping you know,
I'd love to
apart.
Do more action figures, but they're very expensive to do, and the production process can literally last years. I think the Diablo doll took 2 years to get done. And wipe me out financially for quite some time until we were able to make the money back. But we are going to be doing, Bunny's Squishables, hopefully. We'll see how that goes.
I would love to see a Corn God action figure.
Oh, so as would I.
That would be pretty great. That'd
as
be
would
pretty
I.
Great.
Maybe I can find someone else's money to make it with.
I'll definitely be the first to buy one. So yeah. You know you have at least one customer.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I think with the advent of Kickstarter, I think there's a lot more opportunities to do projects like that because, you know, you don't have to take a risk. You can see what the audience response is like. You can get the funds, you know, directly from the people who are going to be buying the product. And
guaranteed from personal experience. I actually just got through with a Kickstarter project, and Kickstarter surprised me. We made over, like, 15% over goal, actually, so.
Amazing.
It surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Because people random people from nowhere, like people from New York, Delaware, Europe. I was like, what?
Yeah, just for like a little, you know, film group team here in Maryland. Yeah.
The fan support is amazing. You never know, you know, how loved you are until you do something like that and people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. This community that we built here around webcomics, around just a shared interest.
Yeah.
Like I mean, yeah, it's amazing. Because I think you're our seventh interview today. Everyone here has been super nice. I mean, we were obviously expecting, you know, it being busy, you know, some people might, you know, have to, you know, might not be available, but everyone's made the time for us, and it means a great deal to us. And
yeah,
almost without exception, the group of webcomics artists I know are fabulous people. I mean, you don't get to do this for, you know, for 15 years without having, you know, a supportive community around you. You know, it's mentally punishing, and to have people around you going through the same experiences and giving you tips and hints and encouragement is necessary.
It's
absolutely necessary.
Yeah, Frank Gibson from Tiny Kitten Teeth described it as a polite, competitive environment, which I thought was a really great description. And everyone has been really polite.
Yeah, there's some competitiveness, but it's just enough to keep you going. It's just enough to give you that little bit of a push. It's more like I'll watch, you know, Frank's wife Becky. I'll watch her ink an illustration and be so jealous of her talent that it'll make me, you know, bump my stuff up a step.
But
not,
none
not
of it's
out
ever
of like a sense of competition, but you know, damn, I really want to be that good. I want to be as good as she is.
Yeah.
That.
So none of it's ever mean-spirited. It's just the creative drive to be better.
Well, I can't say it never mean-spirited.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you Topatico guys are more or less competitive with each other since you're all
not,
part of
not
that
with
group.
Each other. I think we're probably, you know, you'd be more competitive with someone who's, if anything, someone whose work you didn't respect, who wasn't part of the family, and you know, mm-hmm. and you know, if you didn't feel like they deserved their success or something like that. But that doesn't happen that often.
All right. Well, John, are there any other, you know, things you'd like to plug? Any new releases, side projects, future things coming up?
Scenes from Multiverse. We just released our first new book. It's just Scenes from Multiverse, Volume 1, available at the website and at the Topatico website. That's about it for now. We've got some projects coming up that I can't really talk about at the moment, but there'll be announcements pretty soon.
All right. Well, John, it's been great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for boldly going nowhere.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Los Tres Monos production. For more podcasting goodness, check us out at boldlygoingnowhere.podomatic.com.
Check out my podcast, BNS Reviews, at bnsreviews.podomatic.com.
Or if you're into the social networking scene, look up either BS Reviews or Boldly Going Nowhere Podcasts at Facebook or Twitter.